Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I guess the big talk this week is AEW had their Blood and Guts event this Wednesday. It drew just a little bit over 1 million viewers, which was up considerably from last week and down from the week prior to. But the real news coming out of Blood and Guts, of course, is that many fans seem to be very, very upset with the ending. And some fans even calling it just as big a botch as the exploding barbed wire ring deathmatch. So let's recapsule a little bit of exactly what happened. Near the end of the match, which is essentially the feature match, which is War Games, MJF and Chris Jericho fought on top of the cage, and MJF threatened to throw Jericho off if someone from the inner circle did not submit, thus having the match end. Sammy Guevara did actually give up to try to save Chris Jericho, who then MJF threw off the cage anyway. Now, when Jericho landed, unfortunately, they had rigged something to look like, I guess, a steel barricade or ramp, or whatever the hell it really was supposed to be, and it was quite obviously a padded, and when it hit, some of the padding came out, and you could kind of see it was a padded thing, which of course made it very, 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 very obvious that it was rigged. Many fans were very upset. Now, there's not a fan in that arena who didn't think that that would have been a gimmicked situation. Everybody knows Jericho's not going to be thrown off the top of the cage and just land on that steel, or he'd be dead. So they already knew. And probably over the course of the last, 24 hours, I've been hearing a lot of wrestlers weigh in on this, and they're blaming the fans. And they're saying, well, what do fans expect? I mean, you already know that it's predetermined. You already know that we're not going to be thrown off onto a steel floor. So what is it exactly that you're complaining about? You already knew that this was going to be padded. You already knew there was going to be it was going to be gimmicked in some way. So what is it that you're complaining about? Aren't you the same fans who complained when Matt Hardy took a bump off a ladder in another match and said, oh, we can't have this. We can't have people risking their lives and shouldn't have came back, and now when, you know, we do try to protect our wrestlers, you cry about that. That's what the wrestling world is saying. Now, the truth of the matter is, half a dozen or more fans asked for their money back. There were fans in attendance that night, considerably more than there have been in past AEW shows, and some did ask for their money back. Those are probably fair weather fans who feel they're entitled to something for nothing, and if everything doesn't go perfectly, and it's a very dangerous precedent that you set when you do this, because, you know, if everything doesn't go someone's way, then you just get to ask for your money back. However, I do think the wrestlers who are blaming the fans are missing the boat. And here's why I think they're missing the boat. I, as a wrestling fan, am not complaining because, oh, Chris Jericho landed on padding. That wasn't so bad. Yeah, you get up on that cage and try it. You get up on that cage and let somebody throw you off on that. I'm complaining because you are a company that has repeatedly said and laughed at, oh, look how close we're getting to WWE. We're WWE almost type numbers. WWE's NXT had to run away from us. We're the new big thing. And you can't pull off one goddamn thing successfully. You can't pull off one high spot successfully. You blew the goddamn thing with a barbed wire ring. And now you blew this. Can anybody manufacture anything the right way? Is that too much to ask from a company who's claiming to be, you know, a top, top, top company? See, that's what I'm complaining about. It never struck my mind that, oh, well, Jericho's really going to be thrown off onto the floor or any kind of a structure that was made out of steel. We already knew it was padded. We already knew it was gimmicked. But Jesus, do you have to show us? Can you manufacture? Can you construct something that works? That's all I'm asking. If you go to see a magic show, they don't open the box and show you how the lady inside can be sawed in half. They don't do that. You know she's not sawed in half. No idiot's there and said, he sawed that woman in half and put her back together again. Nobody says that. We all know it's a trick. But Jesus, you don't have to show us. You don't have to wave it in our face. And I got news. If you went to see a magic show and the magician did wave it in your face, you'd say that's a lousy magician. He revealed how the trick was done. You never do that. You never reveal how the trick is done. You leave people saying, well, I know it was a trick, but I'm not sure exactly how. That's what I'm complaining about. So for all the wrestlers who are getting on the fans saying, oh, we already knew it was rigged. Yeah, yeah, we already knew it was rigged, but your company or that company, depending on whether you work for AEW or not, has the obligation as a top company of constructing stuff that's not going to fall apart and show us how the trick is done or is going to work properly. Is that too much to ask? So when you do something like this, you look like the horse's ass because you look like you don't know how to get this done. First, your ring doesn't explode. Now this thing comes unraveled and shows, how much padding is in it. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it is your fault. It's not the wrestler's fault. It's not the fans' fault. The fans are calling you out based upon your unprofessionalism to construct something that actually works and leaves us scratching our heads saying, I know they rigged that, but I don't know exactly how. Because that's part of the beauty of professional wrestling. Simple as that. So you guys are missing the boat when you're saying, oh, fans are so whiny, they know it's not real, and yet when they see it's not real, they complain. Yeah, because we don't want to see how the trick is done. Imagine you sitting in a movie, one of you wrestlers who are complaining about the fans. Imagine you sitting in a movie and they show a dramatic scene of someone getting killed. And then they say, but wait a minute, we're going to show you that actually this is a stunt double and it's clearly this. And you'd say, oh, man, they didn't even cut that out of the movie. Look, you can clearly see this. Oh, that's terrible. Those guys suck. That's what you'd say. Oh, look, you can see how it's done. That's a horrible movie. Who made this movie where you can see how the guy's being set on fire or the guy fell off the building? Who did that? You can see the wire. Oh, that's awful. That's what you'd say. See, professional wrestlers have this funny elitist attitude that's starting to piss me off. And trust me when I tell you, I'll confront them with it. People are always say, oh, you never say it to my face. Yes, I would. Oh, yes, I would. If you think I wouldn't say it to your face, you don't know me. I'll say it to your face twice because it's the truth. You've got an elitist attitude that anything that goes wrong, you cannot be responsible for. Anything that goes wrong, you cannot be questioned about. You don't know what you're talking about because you fans have never, ever been in the ring. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You never been a gourmet cook either, but you can tell whether the food is lousy. I'm not an auto mechanic, but I know when my goddamn car is shit in the bed. So don't give me that crap. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm also tired of hearing how hard and terribly, horribly hard and complex professional wrestling is. No, it's not. I've done it. I've done it for years and years. It's not that hard. So please, stop, okay? Just stop. If it was that hard, people couldn't do it in their 50s. Name me another supposed sport, because it's not a sport. It's an exhibition. But name me another supposed sport where people can be on the highest level in their 50s. I'll wait. Is it boxing? No. Is it MMA? No. Baseball? No. Football? No. Basketball? No. Hockey? No. But how come wrestling can, if it's so hard? So get over yourselves. It's entertaining, it's fun, and I love it. But you guys are ruining it with your elitist attitudes, and every single thing that goes wrong, the very first thing you do is blame the fans, blame the fans, blame the fans. Now, I'll blame the fans a little bit. I would have never in a million years asked for my money back. Because, number one, the rest of the card was fantastic, and this match was fantastic. So they screwed one thing up. You know what that's like? That's like going into a restaurant and eating a gourmet meal, and it's just absolutely fabulous, but the dessert sucked, and then you say, oh, well, I want my money back. That's called rigging the system. And you guys aren't real fans. You just don't go anymore. If that's the case, you take your loss of your money and you say, look, this company's a fly-by-night. They can't construct a goddamn thing that works. I'm tired of them showing me how the hot dog is made. I'm tired of them blowing spots, and I'm just not going to watch it. That's what you do. You don't ask for your money back. But here's what you also don't do, professional wrestlers. You don't get on Twitter and berate the fans. You know, there's an indie wrestler who recently on Facebook wrote something. He's a friend of mine, too, by the way. I'm a really nice guy. But I take him to task on this. He wrote, well, you know, if you're a fan, you're the one who paid to see the magic. You aren't the magic. You're the ones who paid to see the magic. Wrong. See, the fans really are the magic. And I'll tell you why. Because without the fans, you're just a bunch of goofballs rolling around pretending to fight. It's the fans who actually make it magic. Because they cheer and they boo and they act as though it's, legit, and they get upset and all that kind of stuff. The fans are the ones who brings the magic. You're just the guys who – you're the props. That's the way I always looked at it when I wrestled, is that, well, you know, we're the props. The fans who create the magic. But wrestlers don't look at it that way anymore. Trust me, they don't. And for a company the size of AEW and Tony Khan having more money than anyone, you can't get a group to manufacture a couple of things at work. Or at least, if they don't, take full responsibility and say, what we did, we exposed the business, and that's not good. See, that's the thing. At least own it. At least say, look, don't blame Jericho, don't blame MJF, don't blame anybody else, blame us, blame the company. We exposed the business, we screwed up, we apologize. No, it's instantaneously, let's blame the fans. Let's blame the fans for being unreasonable. Well, I got news. If that's your philosophy, then why don't you put a big trampoline out there and let them just hit the trampoline, or a great big giant foam mat, 26 inches thick, and just say, well, what difference does it make? You already know it's rigged. We don't have to hide it. We don't have to pretend. Why pretend on anything, then? If that's your philosophy, that, well, you all know it's rigged, so if it's exposed, big deal, well, then why even hide it? Just have MJF throw Jericho off onto a big spongy thing, and that's it. Oh, you can't have that. See, because the magic is that Jericho somehow can survive this. The magic is that Jericho's thrown off onto the steel, and it looks like MJF has killed him, but somehow Jericho comes back to exact revenge. Okay, well, then get it right. or don't do it. You know, this is getting old. This is the equivalent of the sun was in my eyes. You know, when you drop a fly ball. Ah, the sun was in my eyes. Yeah, there was birds flying by. Yeah. The buck stops with you. Construct the damn thing right. And when it goes wrong, own it. Don't blame fans. As far as the fans that, again, that ask for their money back, screw them. I wouldn't have given them a dime back. You don't get to sit through the whole show and then say, I want my money back. But at the same time, you shouldn't be on Twitter blaming fans either. Mike, this is a problem. This is starting to become a huge problem with pro wrestling.
Right. And the thing is think about it this way. And I've given the analogy before. Penn and Teller, everybody who listens to this show know who they are, right? Penn and Teller are magicians. Early on in their career, what was their claim to fame? They would show you a trick, and then they would basically tell you how it's done. But they did it in a classier way, right? Because they understood that they understood that to magicians, the audience is the prop. You know? So it's the same way with wrestling. The audience is the prop. The audience is what makes – I mean, what have we been saying for a long time about not about this whole Thunderdome experiment with the WWE?
Right.
It's not the same as having a live audience in the building. But that's not what we're talking about here. We've seen over the years, Marcus, people go off of a cage. It doesn't matter if it's just your normal run-of-the-mill cage or if it's, you know, the Hell in a Cell or whatever, you know. I mean, the most recent one that I can remember is Braun Strowman throwing Kevin Owens off the cage. We all remember what happened. We all remember. Now, granted, the WWE did it better because they've done it for a while. They've been doing this for a while, and they didn't give the lady's legs are under the table and she's not being sawn in half deal. With this, I'm almost willing to – they're such a young company. I mean, I want quality, but they're such a young company. I'm hoping they will learn from this. AEW will learn from this. Now, granted, you're right about
– that's what we said about the exploding ring, okay? At what point do you hold them responsible? Now, I'm not talking about any of the wrestlers. And, okay, they're a young company, but how about you hire an experienced group of people to build your props? I might be a young magician. But if I'm going to hire somebody to build that box, I'm going to hire somebody who's built them before. Okay, and say, have you done this before? Have you worked with a magician on this illusion before? Can you build this box well? Or are you a fledgling? See, that's the problem. Who are they hiring to construct this stuff? Rookies? Who are they hiring to do this? You've got no excuse for this. I don't care if the company started yesterday. If you're hiring a group of people who said, I've done this 5,000 times, then okay. If you're hiring somebody who says, think I can do it, saw it on TV once, well, then I don't know. That's your fault. Now, Derek in the chat room saying, look, this problem is more than just starting. It's been going on for a while. Yeah, you know, it has been going on for a while with the younger wrestlers. The rookies, I should say, that are coming up, or not even the rookies, but some of the younger guys, even in the major federations. But I'm shocked that it's starting to spread out. And I'm worried about it because it's making me angry at the performers. And I don't want to be angry at the performers. But the performers have to get over themselves. And they have to get over themselves quickly because at the end of the day, and again, I never said, oh, I've done this at such a high level. I was in Impact or AEW or AECW. I was in a little tiny independent federation, but we still drew a couple hundred people to our shows. But I'll tell you this much. I never had that attitude in my lifetime ever. I always knew the fans was the magic. I always knew the fans were the important factor. And I always played to them because that's what you have to do. If I can play to the fans and they play back at me, that's when the magic happens. They make me better. And I give them more entertainment if I'm playing to them. It's not us versus them. It's not we're very serious athletes and you're lucky to be in our presence. Sit and watch and don't critique because you have no right to critique. You're insane. You're insane. What other entertainment industry gets that? Sit and watch the movie. Have you ever been an actor? Then don't critique the movie. Oh, but I see plenty of wrestlers online saying, oh, this movie sucked. Have you ever made a movie? Are you an actor? Please. Guys, you got to get over yourselves. Seriously, you got to get over yourselves. Professional wrestling is one of these things where you can get a really big ego really quick, and I've seen people who it happens to. Never happened to me because I fully understood that the only reason I'm winning matches is because I'm told to win a match. And the only reason that I'm getting, cheered or booed or whatever the case may be at the time was because I'm doing my job right and I'm playing to the fans. The fans are the magic. If you think the fans aren't the magic, you have absolutely no right to be a professional wrestler. Period. And I trained wrestlers. And I will tell you right now, but the very first thing I told them is, your bosses are not necessarily the federation or me, it's the fans. They're going to ultimately decide what you are, because if they don't care about you, is it that you would have this federation do? Make you a champion? It's not going to happen for you. You got to make them care about you one way or the other. And that means you got to care about them. Every single time I went out there, I said, how am I going to entertain somebody? Whether it was just as simple as trying to make somebody jump out of their seat with a move, or someone get emotionally invested in something I'm saying or doing, or even just making somebody laugh. But at the end of the day, you could say, hey, they went home entertained, so I did my job well. Otherwise, forget it. You're not doing this for fun. You don't show up and just wrestle with an empty arena and no television cameras to say, well, we're great athletes. Okay, well, good for you. Where's the magic coming from, you or the fans who are creating the noise, creating the energy, creating the enthusiasm, creating the fan base? So, no, I don't like it when wrestlers go on and critique the fans. I really don't. It's almost like this good old boys club where if you're in the club, you get to say, here's the thing. If I walk backstage and a fellow wrestler said, dude, not for nothing, but your match wasn't very good. But that audience was yelling and screaming and cheering, I could tell them, you can go fuck yourself. Who cares what you got to say? That whole audience is cheering. I don't care what you got to say. I didn't do it to please you. See, too many people work to please the boys in the back. And they don't have to please the boys in the back. Who the fuck cares what the boys in the back got to say? You do it to please the fans. End the conversation. Learn it. Now, as far as AEW is concerned, the right move was for Tony Khan or Cody Rhodes or whoever to just acknowledge, I'm afraid we exposed the business a little bit last night, and for that, we're truly sorry. Don't blame fans for being upset. We're upset with ourselves. In the future, we'll try to do better and learn from our mistakes. That's it. That's it. And then you move on, and all the fans say, okay. But when you instantly say, oh, what do you fans expect? You can never be pleased. If we're killing ourselves, it's too violent. And if we're protecting ourselves, it's phony. How in the world do you, what do you want us to do? What do we want you to do? We want you to be professional. That's what I want you to do. not that hard. It's not that hard. Once had a professional wrestler. Let me give you an example. Once had a professional wrestler who ran a school in the same building as us that we actually trained in and worked in. Come to see one of our shows. And he said to me afterwards, you're not going to be able to walk by the time you're 30 because of the following reasons. You're taking too many bumps. Your ring is too hard. This, that. He gave me a whole laundry list of everything that I'm doing wrong. Well, I'm over 30 now and I'm walking just fine. Never seriously injured. Never seriously injured anyone else. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that we had people thinking some of our people were dead. But we never showed how the hot dog was made. And we had no money. Okay? We had no money. It is not that hard, I'm sorry to tell you, to construct something that's not going to fall apart and show the padding underneath it. It's not that hard. It's good enough, let's just go out and do it. This whole pervading attitude of everything's just good enough. And again, I will ask any wrestler the question, if it doesn't matter because the fans already know, then why even try to cover it up? Well, you can't show them just jumping on a soft landing pad, but you did. It's exactly what you did, though. Well, we tried to cover it up. Yeah, but you failed. So who failed? The fans? Did the fans fail? No. Did the wrestlers fail? No. The organization failed. Because whoever constructed that thing did it wrong. Todd, I don't know what to say about this. It's starting to irritate me now a little bit that we're getting this attitude against the fans every time the fans complain.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's not the wrestler's fault. It's not the fans' fault. It's the wrestling company's. It's the wrestling company's fault. Tony Khan, like you said, I would not give refunds out.
No, I wouldn't do that either. I'd tell them, you sat through the whole show, my friend. You watched the show. You ate the steak. If you eat the steak and there's no more steak left, you can't say, I think I'll send the steak back and I don't expect to receive a bill. That's not the way that works. So nobody would have gotten their money back. Nobody would have. I know what their philosophy is. Who cares? It's not like we made any money on it anyway. Give them their money back if they want to be crybabies. But no, you have to set a precedent and say, no, we're not going to deal with this. We're not dealing with crybabies. But there's a difference between being a crybaby and saying I want my money back and a real wrestling fan saying you exposed the goddamn business. And you've done it twice now. Twice. Knock it off already. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. There are plenty of wrestlers that took some hard bumps in that event. And no one ever expected Jericho at his age to land on anything other than a padding. But Jesus, come on. At the end of the day, Mick Foley landed on a table. It wasn't a wooden table, and it did break his fall to a good extent, but he still landed on a table. He didn't land on a pad. And the pad didn't come exposed to show all the stuffing and everything that's in it. So anyway, that's my take on that. I just think that at this stage of the game, wrestling is in this unusual position where if they start to get any more negative toward the fans are going to turn on them. That's not just AEW. That's all wrestling. Because at the end of the day, the very first thing you should tell anyone, day one of wrestling school, day one, minute one, you tell everyone what you do out in that ring is for the fans. At the end of the day, they're really your only boss. There are other people going to tell you what to do and stuff, but the fans are going to control, to a large extent, they're going to control how your career goes. So you might want to make friends with the idea that they are kind of your boss right now. And you might want to make yourself aware that negativity toward them only gains you negativity back. And you can't afford it. That way everyone knows what's going on. Simple as that. They're there to entertain. That your job is you're an entertainer. Scratch completely off the thing, I'm a competitive athlete. You're not a competitive athlete. There's no competition. You know who's going to win. You may be an athlete. You're not a competitive athlete. So you're not there to win regardless. If wrestling was real, then screw the fans. Your first obligation is to win. Whether it's a boring match, whether it's, whatever, your first obligation is to win. I mean, you don't have a baseball player saying, well, I'm in somebody else's home stadium and I'm pitching a no-hitter, but their fans are upset. I guess they better throw a few fat ones so that their team can get some hits and they'll cheer. No, that's not what you do. Your goal is to win. Whether fans are happy, they're unhappy, whatever, it doesn't matter. Your goal is to win. You don't have any such goal in professional wrestling. Your goal is to entertain who came to see you. That's it. That's it. And it doesn't make one damn bit of difference if you got 10 Olympic gold medal wrestlers in the back telling you you suck. If the fans are standing up cheering, you did your job. That's all that matters. Now, I suspect, although I can't prove it, that that's a part of the problem with Enzo Amore. Enzo did some dumb things. And I could see Enzo being an annoying guy in real life. But I think some of the negativity toward Enzo Amore was that he wasn't extremely good or even took wrestling all that serious. But he knew how to entertain. And because he knew how to entertain, he got pops, big pops. And there are guys there saying, I worked for hours on my move, and it got a smattering of applause. He comes out and says, and you can't teach that, and the fans go nuts. Yeah. Because guess what you're involved in? You're involved in pro wrestling. And the minute you become a pro wrestler, somebody should have told you, you're an entertainer. That's what you do. You entertain people. You tell them stories. You get them emotionally invested in your character. You make them cry, laugh, cheer, boo, whatever it happens to be. But that's what you do. You're an actor who tells his story or has his movie in the ring. That's what you are. Stop pretending you're somebody you're not. And just do what it is that you're supposed to do. And everything will just be fine. I was much more concerned if fans said, oh, I didn't like the match, than I was if people in the back said they didn't like the match. I mean, I don't think it really happened. I'm sure I had a few bummer matches. And I would say, well, what went wrong? What should I have done to get the fans more into it? What did I do to take them out of it? What did my opponent do to take them out of it? How can we avoid doing that again? Don't want that to happen. I don't care what the boys have to say in the back. They got their own match to worry about. Screw them. I need to figure out how to get in touch with the fans. And instead, we're here. We're the magic. You pay to see that magic. Oh, dear me. I could do a whole show on why that philosophy is completely ass backwards. That's just, I don't know, folks. Anyway, SmackDown tonight. We're getting a retro SmackDown. And from what I've been told, they don't even know what it means. Maybe they do by now. But I was told that Monday night when they announced this, they still weren't sure what the hell that meant. So this should be very, very, very interesting. Now, imagine we're going to get some old retro graphics. Maybe we're going to get the old theme song or something. We're going to get some, maybe even the announcers will dress different. I don't know where this is going. Not 100% sure where this is going. I'm not even 100% sure it's necessary. It could just be a fun thing for entertainment value, which is fine. But we'll see. I mean, at the end of the day, how much can they do to bring back that retro feel, Mike? I mean, I'm not 100% sure where this whole thing's going to go since you're going to be in the Thunderdome with much more modern technology.
Right. I don't know where it's going to go either, and that's the thing. I mean, I'll watch it to see where it does go, but at least with AEW, we knew where that thing went, right? We basically had a good feeling of where it was going. This we don't. You know, I guess it's trying something different, I guess. I'm not sure. I mean,
I guess it's just for entertainment.
Going,
maybe this is some clip or something. I don't know. I don't know what we'll see. But look, for everybody that's dumping on AEW, and everybody knows it's not my favorite organization, the reason it's not my favorite organization is for the things they do outside the ring. Some of which we've touched on today. Some of which we've touched on other shows. For some blatant hypocrisy that I think is ridiculous. For some, you know, virtue signaling, which I think is ridiculous business of professional wrestling. So, no, they're not my favorite company. But they put on a great show. Great show. And, yes, there are times when fans can be nitpicky, but then what you have to do is you have to separate the nitpicky from the constructive criticism. In other words, if a fan is being unfair, then that's fine. You can ignore that. I remember Bob Geldof from a group called the Boomtown Rats hosted Live Aid, and it was virtually a concert held in the United States and England with every band you could possibly think of. I mean, literally, they had Black Sabbath reunite. They had Led Zeppelin reunite. They had every group you could possibly think of on both shores. And it went from 10 in the morning to midnight. And in Bob Geldof's biography, he said at the end, all the bands came on stage. Each one had a big screen, so even in America they could be on stage at the same time as UK. Everybody came on stage. We all had this big grand finale of all the top stars in the music business. And as the lights are fading on the very last note of the last song, I heard a guy in the front row saying, "Is that it?" And he called his biography, "Is that all?" I think. "Is that all?" That's what he said. "Is that all?" You can't please everybody. There's always going to be that one fan that says, "You know, MJF is kind of limited as a pro wrestler." Oh, please. Please. That's the kind of criticism you just throw out because it's unfair and it's unwarranted. Who cares if he's limited as a pro wrestler? Is he getting over? The answer is yes, he's getting over, so who cares? I don't care if he does three moves. If he gets over like that, good enough. But it's not unfair criticism to say you blew the ending to this match by exposing the business because you guys didn't have your props set properly for the second time. If this was the only thing that had happened in AEW, I'd say, well, all right. Just like I did the exploding ring. I said, it's bad, but they'll get over it. But you can't do this again. You can't do this every major event. Then just don't set up the spot. If you can't do it, and you can't get the props right, don't set the spot up. I don't want somebody to say, well, he's going to come in with a crowbar and hit him in the back of the shoulders with a crowbar, and then the crowbar bends like a wet noodle, and you say, oh, well, fans are out. You know, fans, you knew it wasn't real. No, come on, man. You got to do better than that. So, yeah, you have to take your own responsibility for this. You have to. And I'm very disappointed that they're taking it out on the fans. I'm very disappointed. They're the one people you don't want to piss off. I don't get it. You know what it is? You want me to be brutally honest here? The new breed of wrestlers, a lot of the new breed of wrestlers resent the fans. You know why they resent the fans? Because they're so vitally important to their career. And they realize, if I can't get through to these people, I'm not really going anywhere. And I resent the fact that they hold so much power over me. Oh, well. They're buying a ticket. They're the reason that you can go have your hamburger afterwards. Okay? So I got news for you. Get used to it. See, everybody wants to be the star. I'm the big shining star. The stars are the fans, really. Yeah, you got to understand that. Because without them, you're nobody. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I don't understand why everyone doesn't get that philosophy. And it applies to everything, whether you're an actor, whether you're a wrestler, whether you're any kind of entertainment, a musician. I could be the best musician in the world, and I could have every person in the industry say, let me tell you something. Nobody can play an instrument like that guy. If I don't have any fans, it doesn't really matter, does it? I can sit at home in my room and say, I'm the best. Well, okay, but nobody's listening to me. Or I can do two chords and scream into a microphone and have a bazillion people show up at a concert and have musicians say, he sucks, he don't know how to play. It doesn't matter. Because everybody's enjoying it. Here they are enjoying it. See, we're getting a little bit of that from pro wrestling. We're starting to get the resentment. You get that all the time. You know, you get that when you have a band who clearly has brilliant musicians in it and draws 800 people screaming about how AC/DC does, you know, can't play. Well, yeah, but AC/DC can draw 50,000 people. So it really doesn't matter if they do the same chords over and over and over again, does it? Yeah, but that shouldn't be the case. It should be about, yeah, please, get over yourselves. Again, you have to get over yourselves. You have to realize your job is to entertain the audience. And that's why it's so crucial. People keep saying to me, Marcus, why are you so upset about wrestlers calling themselves, you know, a sport? Because it's not. And you got to get out of that mindset. Because in a sport, your goal is to win. Not to please the fans. If I'm a home run hitter and I go up and I need to bunt somebody over, that's my job. Bunt them over. And if the fans boo, well, we wanted to see you hit a home run. So I say, well, I'm not going to bunt them over. I'm just going to try to hit a home run because that's what the fans want. That's what's important. I'll be off that team before you could say Jack Robinson. Because the goal in sports is to win, whether it's boring to the fans, whether it's exciting to the fans, whether the fans think it's the right decision or the wrong decision is irrelevant. Your job is to win. There is no such thing in professional wrestling. You already know who's going to win. You don't have any other job. Your job is to please the audience. And you're acting as though your job is to please the boys in the back and show how wonderful you are and how athletic you are and how gifted you are. Wrong. Wrong. So, anyway, let's talk a little bit about this Eva Marie thing because, man, oh, man, are people pissed. This is not going to work too well for Eva Marie because here's what I envision. I envision everybody who loved the Iconics, everybody who thought Mickie James still had a lot to offer, everybody who's upset about all of the women that they let go are going to say, and you hired this woman back? This is what you want? And they're going to take it out on Eva Marie because they can't take it out on Vince McMahon and company, Mike.
They can't do it. And another thing they're going to say, and you're not doing anything with the whole Lana storyline.
Right.
You know, which basically, right now, Eva Marie is below even Lana. Lana's improving, you know. Eva Marie, I don't know if she's improved yet because I haven't seen her in the ring yet. So,
Mike,
I mean.
All I can say, Mike, is this. And then Derek in the chat room is saying, was she not fired for drugs? I don't know if she was fired for drugs. I know she was just fired because, look, again, I'm not saying that I'm exactly, you know, I train people at a high level, but I did train people to wrestle. And I know people who are incapable of being trained, where you just say it's pounding my head against a wall. I could show them how to do this thing a million times, and they're going to get it wrong the million and one time because they just can't get it done. It's not that they're not an athlete. It's not that they don't have the physical prowess to do it. They just don't get it or whatever it happens to be. Not everyone can do it. Eva Marie is one of these people who can't do it. Every single time I watched her in the ring, I said, well, what does she need to improve on? And I realized, no, it's everything. It's her facial expressions, her body language, her movement, her everything. I mean, there was nothing there. You may as well have had a fan come up. And look, Mike says, I don't know if she's improved. She couldn't get worse. So my gut tells me she's probably better. How much better? Do you realize that first match is going to have to be really good? The only way Eva Marie is going to get over in this federation is if my jaw drops and all the fans' jaws drop and we say, holy crap, Ola, did she get better when she was gone? They better book this match to be a showcase of how much better Eva Marie has gotten. She better wrestle like you've never seen somebody wrestle before. You better think that's Charlotte Flair you're watching. Because anything less than that, and fans are going to be like, and this is what you are going to push. While you're firing the Iconics and Mickie James and Chelsea Green, this is what you're going to push? Oh, man, are fans going to be upset. And rightfully they're going to be upset, Todd, because why let these type of quality female athletes go and hire somebody who's really just all look at least last time we saw her?
I think you're absolutely right there, like you said about the Eva Marie thing. Like, I never approved that before where her, like you said, every time they do, like, a tease thing, she never showed up to do it. And it's going to be a big disappointment again with these with the fans. Do a big tease and nothing happens.
More importantly than that, though, when she did wrestle, it was literally like, okay, I'm going to attempt an armbar. I grab the wrist, I twist once, and then I over my head twice. Yep, that's the way I do it. That's the way she wrestled. Like she's thinking in the back of her mind, like it's a math problem. I do this, then I do this. You can't do that. You can't do that. It has to be almost like instinct to you. The best actors and the best wrestlers are the people who, when they're in there, think it's real. In other words, if you're an actor and you don't really believe you're that character when you're in this, you're probably not a good actor. And if you're a wrestler, obviously you're not trying to hurt the person or do anything for real, and you're being mindful to keep your opponent safe. But you got to be that character, and you got to feel that moment, and it's got to come as an instinct. The best wrestlers are the wrestlers who react on instinct. You know how you'll know a good wrestler? If you're in an audience sometime, if you go, if God forbid, we open up the country again and we get to watch wrestling, here's how you'll know a good wrestler. A good wrestler will react even if they know the camera's not on them. In other words, if you're at a WWE event and the camera's following the action of these other two guys over there and there's a wrestler over on the floor by the ringside still selling his leg injury, he's probably a good wrestler. Or there's a wrestler who you say, well, look, his leg was worked on the whole match. And when he goes to do some kind of a move that involves springing off his legs, he can't do it. Or he sells that, oh, man, that hurt me. I should have never done that. They remember and they say, yeah, my leg's supposed to be hurt. The bad ones are the ones who say, no, I can still do all these moves. And then a minute later they remember and go, oh, my leg, oh. Yeah, but you just did a move that should have killed your leg if that's the case. That's the important factor. The wrestler who limps out afterwards holding that leg because they really believe it until that curtain closes behind them. Eva Marie was never that. Eva Marie reminded me of just like a fashion model or something who they just said, go out there and do these lines. Go out there and try to do this move. Okay. And she just can't. You know, like we've seen fashion models try to act before, and you're just like, yeah, that's not working. You got the look, but you don't have the talent, and you just don't have the feel. Well, there you go. That's why some wrestlers make really good actors, because they're used to that. They're used to acting like everything is real right up until the point when they say cut or the curtain closes, you know? I don't think Eva Marie's that. Even in her segment, Mike, she still had that flat, dry delivery that was like, Jesus, she doesn't even believe what she's saying.
Right. I mean, you know, I keep comparing her to, you know, Lana. At least with Lana, yes, she's, at times she's been given crap and has performed it as crap. You know, but at least with Lana, you can give her some good stuff, and she'll perform it, you know, especially good stuff on the microphone, and she'll perform it really, really well, you know. And then, of course, people go, well, what about how bad a wrestler Ronda Rousey was? No, she wasn't a bad wrestler. She was an inexperienced wrestler. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Pro wrestler. She was... there's a difference, because there were times when, particularly, I go back to when SmackDown invaded, the women of SmackDown invaded Raw, and the first thing we saw was Becky Lynch with a disarmer on what's her name, on Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey comes out later to help out, but she can't, because she can't do very limited stuff, because she's selling the arm, which sold the disarmer.
Yeah, see, Ronda Rousey's problem was a little bit different. Ronda Rousey's problem was she was used to just really fighting. And for her to remember a lot of scripted stuff or listen to people in the ring or have a wide variety of being able to, again, her job was to win. In UFC, her job was to win. If that was one punch or that was just keeping somebody on the ground while the fans booed because it was boring, it didn't matter. The idea is I have to win. She was having a harder time when the whole concept is to entertain. Later, she became an entertainer. Kurt Angle is the best example. Kurt Angle was an Olympic gold medal wrestler, and he literally said, I tried to take that into the ring, and I really quickly found out it doesn't matter how good you wrestle, you have to entertain. And when people come up to me on the street, they don't say, man, your move, your angle slam, or this ankle lock or whatever was so wonderful. No, they say, remember the time you drove the milk truck in? Remember the time you wore the cowboy hat and sang to Vince? That's what they remember. He said that in his Hall of Fame speech. And he looked every single one of those guys in the eye and said, don't you forget that that's the moment that the fans are going to remember. And man, was he right. You couldn't get any more right. Now, Kurt Angle would be a great teacher at this point in his life. He would be a great professional wrestling teacher, because he understands the value of entertainment. And he understands it would be great if you're a good quality athlete, too, and you can do some moves. But first and foremost, entertain. First and foremost, entertain. This is, again, Eva Marie is one of these people who says, my entertainment consists of a lot of people think I'm hot. So my entertainment is I go out there and I just walk around and everyone gets to look at me. Well, that's not good enough. We're in a different age now. That might have been good enough 10, 12 years ago. It's not good enough now. People are going to want to see you really, really wrestle. And unfortunately, I don't see it. Now, maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. She's going to be on Raw, by the way. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised, and she will have really trained hard and really said, no, I dedicated myself. I remember I was wrong once before. When Trish Stratus first came into the WWE, and she didn't do any wrestling. She just wore the cowboy hat and walked people down, and she was a pinup model or whatever she was, a fitness model. I said, yeah. And her first couple of matches, she wasn't nothing to brag about. But man, did she get serious. And by the end of her run, she was one of the best female wrestlers, still is. One of the best female wrestlers in the business. Because she took it dead serious. Dead serious. Now, maybe Eva Marie has taken it dead serious. And I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. But there is nothing in her persona, nothing in the way she acts, that leads me to believe that she does take it dead serious. She acts like someone who says, well, I just want to be in the spotlight. And if it has to be in wrestling, then it's in wrestling. But I want to be famous. I want to be in front of a crowd. I want to perform. Well, okay, but then you got to think of what these fans want to see. And it's going to be more than you coming out, you know, as a beauty pageant contestant. We want to see you wrestle and do well. Hopefully you can do it. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Now, as far as what we're expected to see on SmackDown, I will say this, and it's kind of late in the show to start this, so I hope if we run over, we run over. But we were misled. Not just this show. Everybody in the wrestling business was misled. Everyone said Daniel Bryan's contract, even Daniel Bryan said, my contract does not expire for a while. So I got some time to think about what I want to do. Incorrect. Daniel Bryan's contract is over. At least that's what they're telling us. Now, could they be swerving us? I guess they could, because wasn't it Daniel Bryan 2 weeks ago who said, I still got a ways to go on my contract? Well, apparently not. What I'm hearing, Daniel Bryan is done. His contract is over. Now, that doesn't mean he's leaving the WWE. But it does mean his contract is over and he doesn't have to resign. Doesn't have to do any more events. So this is a very interesting turn of events, Mike. Apparently, Daniel Bryan could, if he wanted to, theoretically, walk away from the WWE at any time now.
Yeah, he really could. And that would be a shame for the WWE, because there is no doubt in my mind that Daniel Bryan has a lot more to give to wrestling in general, and the WWE probably in particular, than he's given, you know. I mean, yeah, he's, I don't want to say on his last legs, because he's just in his late 30s, early 40s, right? You could probably get another couple of years out of it. But, and probably more than that, if you take into account, well, he's probably going to be on that show with his wife at some point again, and that reality show. And, of course, if he wanted to become a trainer at some point, you know. So, and look, I'm not saying that he's not coming back, right? I'm just saying that as of right now, it looks like they're
far. As a matter of fact, Mike, I think that this could be some way of getting him supposedly retired so Edge can challenge him and say, I came out of retirement, you know, and whatever. And now because I'm back here, you ran away from me, you don't want to fight me. I have this feeling we're going to see Edge and Daniel Bryan before Daniel Bryan really calls it quits. And even when he calls it quits, I don't think he's calling it quits with the WWE. I think he will be a WWE lifer. I think he's going to be somebody who's going to be backstage, all that stuff. But I think we're going to definitely see Edge versus Daniel Bryan at some point, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said with Daniel Bryan, and like you said, we're going to probably see him, if he does resign, maybe not as a wrestler, maybe like an NXT trainer or something, or a trainer at the Performance Center for the newer students to teach them.
Yeah, I mean, he'll stick around. He'll be a lifer, I think. Let's just quickly give our reviews on NXT. And I know Mike doesn't watch NXT, but me and Todd can give it on NXT. I did watch AEW. I'm going to give AEW this week actually, I'm going to give it an A-, and I know it's going to piss off people. I just don't think it was a big deal. Don't get me wrong. It was a big deal that they ruined the ending of that match. It was a big deal, but I can't take – how am I supposed to punish the wrestlers for that? That's the Federation, you know, again, screwing up. So what do I give the production of this show? Not high. But that really doesn't have anything to do with the performances. And up to then, I think everything was fantastic. So I'm going to give it an A-, Mike. How about you?
I got to give it an A- as well. And according to what I've seen on a couple of two, three, four different sites, they're up above a million people again in the ratings.
Yeah, they just broke the million. It was a million and 9,000. It was up from last week's 800 and some odd thousand, down from the week before, though. So we'll see what happens. I mean, they're a roller coaster, and they've always been a roller coaster, and I think they're going to have to get used to the fact that that's the way they're going to be. They're going to have their good and bad weeks. They're not going to be a consistent 700,000 like NXT. They're not going to be, we're always over a million like WWE. I think they're going to fluctuate back and forth depending. If I were AEW, I would be a little bit concerned that my big event didn't draw as much as 2 weeks ago's normal show. I'd ask myself why that was. But aside from that, I'd be glad that it was up from the week before. Once again, people saying it was a presidential speech, that's crazy. That's not true. That's just not true. AEW fans weren't sitting around saying, I wonder what Joe Biden's saying. I could barely sit through that thing, and I'm a political junkie, and I was like, I'm going to sleep. I can't take any more of this. So please, that's not the reason. It's just that that's the way their fan base is. They're up and down. Todd, why'd you give the Blood and Guts show this week?
I'm going to go with you on this one. I'm going to give it an A minus. I thought it was a pretty good show.
Yeah, I did too. Listen, as far as the trouble at the end, it's unfortunate, and I think the company handled it poorly. And I think the wrestlers in the company handled it poorly. But what exactly do you want us to do, take that out on the wrestlers? They put on a really good War Games match. And I'm sorry that that ending got screwed up, just like I'm sorry that the Jon Moxley match got screwed up in the with Kenny Omega, but it didn't take away. I mean, does it take away from the match? I guess it does. But it take away from their effort? No, it did not take away from their effort. That's why I'm giving it the A-. As far as NXT, I mean, I think they're going to perpetually be like a B- to a C+ every week because that's just, I don't think they can do better. Their matches are always really, really good. They're always really, really solid. There's never anything horribly, terribly bad. But there's never anything that you're like, oh, my God, either. It's just kind of, yeah, it's there. Yes, it's very good. Yes, it's very well produced. Yes, the wrestling is very professional. But that's it. There's nothing that's – there's no wow factor. Put it that way. There's no wow factor on NXT. And until they get that back, and they're not going to get it back with Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. They're just not. Sorry, they're just not. Finn Balor couldn't do it in WWE. He ain't doing it in NXT. And Karrion Kross has lost a lot of that luster that come from I'm this big supernatural type monster because they let him have the microphone too much. And he doesn't pull that gimmick off at all when he's talking. So, look, they're always going to be steady. I enjoy watching them, but I'm never, like, overly thrilled. I'm never disappointed. It's just like, yeah, it's solid. It's just a solid show. Anyway, enjoy SmackDown tonight. We'll be back here on Sunday to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.